It's the Tiltcast, episode 587, Skadoosh.
And this week, guys, we talk more Hellblade 2. Justin and Rusty's dive into the Shadow of the Earth pre-Elden Ring DLC, and some news. Stay tuned.
It's track the real me.
Man, that was weak. It's the Tiltcast.
We're starting.
It is Sunday, June 23rd at a balmy 99 degrees. Feels like 109 here in the mid-southwest lands. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm distracted. Rusty.
It's an M-rated show in which you'll get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. Yeah, it's hot as hell outside.
That's unfortunate. You should probably live where it's not so gosh darn hot.
Gosh darn. Gosh darn.
Fine. How about you live in the Northlands where it's not so fucking fucking bad? It's just bad,
it's not
man.
So fucking horny.
I'm distracted.
Obviously.
Well,
dude, can you blame me?
Get your hand off your meat.
Oh, no.
Is that what happens when you catch somebody masturbating? And it's like, oh, no.
This is
awkward.
Pretty good. This is pretty good.
All right. Yeah, we're definitely back. yeah, it's hot outside. I'm mildly annoyed right now, but I think it's just lack of sleep and too many things to do. Jason, have you been up to anything?
Mildly eat, annoyed.
Sleep. Work. That's about it. You know, other than we went camping this week, so.
Oh, well, that's a thing. Oh, my God.
That's a thing.
I mean, you were away from your house for like 5 days.
I was, and my data connection was so crap at the part of the lake that we were on that I didn't really get to do the gaming I wanted.
Sounds like somebody needs to Wi-Fi the woods there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need some woodland Wi-Fi there.
And the kids wanted to be in the water so much that I really didn't even attempt to really get into tactics over because, you know, it would have taken a bit to really get into. So just ended up all kind of crap. That said, I also got a new phone. And first thing I did Friday after we were home was I went out, cleaned my pool, then floated in my pool, and played a couple hours of Hellblade 2 via Game Pass streaming, which surprisingly wasn't too bad.
All right. I mean, so it was, you were streaming it right there outside via the Wi-Fi's.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, the,
I'm actually surprised how well, it worked on a phone display, even with touch controls, even though it recommends a controller.
It's a relatively simple game. I don't imagine it's like got a bunch of inputs.
Yeah,
it's not incredibly difficult.
No.
Does it look?
No, it's not. Does it? Damn, the story is good, and it's still whatever they're doing with their streaming compression, it still looks good on the phone.
I mean, yeah, 720p would look good on a phone.
Oh, that's true. That is very much true, but I definitely see what you mean, Justin, about this one being a lot more story driven and a little less combat oriented than the first one.
Yeah, there's really big chunks in between combat a lot of times.
But, I mean, that said, I love the story, so it's all good. Seeing more of what's happening with her is a good thing.
Yeah, did you take a look to see what chapter you're in?
I am in... I just finished chapter 2.
So there's only 6 chapters.
Yeah.
And they're all roughly an hour long. So yeah. You can kind of use that as a basis of like where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm super distracted. Sorry.
But yeah, especially if you have, I think if you have any phone that came out in the last couple of years that has a processor that can really handle it. It looks, still looks great on mobile.
That's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, because I still haven't shipped back my old Note 20 yet. I did a comparison between it and the S24 Ultra, and there is quite a bit. The newer processors definitely make quite a bit of difference. Qualcomm's come a long way in a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess I don't game on my iPhone very much. Even though that's one of the things that they tried to sell me on was, oh, it's good for gaming. Or it was, the Resident Evil thing is what they were trying to sell me on when that came out. I'm like, okay, but I'm not gonna play this game on here. Streaming, I could see, dealing with it all right. I just, my hands are so big, I can't really do on-screen controls. It bothers me too because you're obscuring part of the picture, just the control of shit. Like, all right, yeah. Just give me a controller.
Right. Yeah, I definitely had to move the controls as far as I could towards like the bottom corners of the screens because I, like you, have much longer fingers and meatier hands. So,
meat hands.
Yeah. But once meaty I boys. Did that, it was all right.
Yeah, I've got, cloud saves as you go. I was sitting here loading up Hellblade on my phone while we're talking just to figure it out. I'm not actually doing anything. I was just seeing what the quality and the fidelity is, and that's not bad.
No, it's not.
Again, I'm over Wi-Fi, but yeah, it's nothing I can really show on camera, but that's really not bad. At all.
No, it's not. If you're wanting to, just relax in your pool and then, do other things, as long as it's a fairly simple game like Hellblade, like you said, you're not really doing anything too difficult. I've not run into any combat that's too intense yet.
It's, your controls are basically heavy attack to break guard, light attack most of the time. You'll come out of the special attack that I think you pull one of the triggers for, and then you dodge and block based on what's going on.
Yep.
That's actually kind of incredible. Again, just
that's going to be the future, guys. You know, the
I'm on a Google Pixel 7 Pro, so not too far off from an S24, I don't think. But yeah, that's actually pretty neat.
Yep, and it actually, you know, if you've got really good internet connection, the graphic fidelity will kind of be a little grainy when you first start the game, but after a few minutes, it kind of, I guess, gets buffered enough that that everything smooths out, and then it's not much different than playing it at 1080p with high settings on my PC.
Yeah, and some of the games don't require controllers, some do. That's just something to know, but it'll work with an Xbox controller. And there's a lot of like little holders that you can get for that where it holds it above your controller, so you hold your controller and it also holds the phone at the same time.
Yep.
Because a lot of the modern controllers are Bluetooth. You just pair it initially with a USB-C and then hook it up with Bluetooth and away you go. Like, it's kind of awesome. Yeah.
Shoot, with Xbox controllers, you don't even need the USB-C cable for the initial pairing.
Well, if it's paired with something else.
As long as you have something modern, no, because all you have to do is hold the pairing button at the top of the controller, and they don't care.
That's true. Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. So, I did get a couple hours into Hellblade. I'm not going to say much more, because I still think it's fairly spoilery, but I will say I am enjoying it, and despite being less combat-driven, it's still one hell of a good story, and just how realistic they've really made this game is,
I think,
incredible.
You'll find going back to, if you go to load chapters, you can load particular sequences in the chapters too. So just something I was noticing when reloading my cloud save, like it had all the different spots that I was in.
Yeah. But I will say this is, so far, even just in Chapter 2, it's even more mindfucky than the first game.
I would agree.
It is. They definitely amped it up. Granted, they're actually, so far, it seems like they're trying to go into a little bit more of, one, the why she did what she did to save her husband, but also the consequences of taking up that particular item. I'm going to say that particular item in case nobody's played Hellblade 1.
It's really good. It dives more into that for sure. That's kind of a central plot point.
And I will say a lot of the visions and hallucinations that happened so far in this second game are much more clear and less cloudy and hazy than the first game, which is a definite choice and change of visual style, which I think serves the continuing story a lot better. Does end up making it a little less creepy from the visual standpoint of it, though all of the audio creepiness is still there, 100%.
I think if you like it so far, it just continues to get more intense. Chapter 3 is where it really kind of takes on a certain intensity that's probably too intense for your kids to watch you play it. Just tossing that out there.
My kids are not going to watch me play this game. Crystal couldn't even handle watching me play the first one. So
that's probably because it looks too damn good. Like it has a visual style, that's for sure.
Yeah, hyper realistic.
Yeah,
it's a film style. Like basically, that's what it looks like. It's like playing a movie.
It does definitely look like you're playing a film, but because it's a game, the audio impact of it. The way that they have the voices travel around in the audio space, again, is just on point and just serves to enhance the creepiness of the environment around you. Pretty fucking awesome. So yeah, that's about all I did, other than, you know, like I said, camping and heat exhaustion.
You know, almost died. Just a thing, you know.
You know, just I can't say I almost died. I mean, that happens to me fairly easy. Did figure out why my camper AC kept tripping though by day three, and fixed that. Freaking wasps.
Oh, God. Did they get up in there and make a nest?
Yep. Right in the drain channel for the condenser.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So the drain plate that the radiator for inside the cabin sits, they built up so much dirt and nest in there that it was that was literally filled with water. And there's a sensor on the radiator right above that pan, and if any water touches it, it trips safety. It shuts it off.
Oh shit. Yeah, well, and that's exactly what you don't want while you're fucking sweating balls out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, luckily those first 2 days it was windy, so we were able to kind of stand it. But by the third day, man, I spent the morning figuring out what was going on.
I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have lasted that long. So.
Yeah, well. When you've got 20-mile-an-hour winds and you spend most of the day in the water, you don't necessarily feel that hot. The sun still does its work over time, but you don't necessarily feel that hot.
Well, if you'd gone this weekend, I think it'd have been a lot worse. It was, I say only, but it was about 10 degrees cooler this last week until, what, yesterday? Yesterday it started to really heat up. I was noticing it on my – I went to Oklahoma City, which is a couple hours away. I noticed on my way up there that it was really heating up, and I was going outside in between sets. I was doing a photo gig up there, and it was unbearably hot outside. I was like, what's going on? And then today is like apex levels of summer heat in Oklahoma. Like we're definitely in summer right now. I was going to walk the dog before we got started with this, and I was just like, nah, me and Lola don't need heat exhaustion. She can be a blanket dog today in the house in the cool.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Wise idea.
We had a monsoon, you know, just the other day. It was 90-ish degrees around here, and hot and sticky and sweaty and shit, and people are outside dying. And I'm like, I come from Oklahoma. This is nothing. It's 90 degrees in the middle of the night. Yeah. So they're like, oh, you must be used to it. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm a big boy. I don't get used to this shit. I prefer the wintertime. I'm built for snow.
You built for snow?
I'm built for, well, I'm I'm losing some of it. I mean, so I mean, I'm still fluffy. It gets hot around here. People just like,
it's like the heat index is 78 outside.
Well, after the monsoon, now it's like 71, 72 degrees, and it's just, you know, it's not bad today. It was bad the other day. But
they're experiencing a heat wave in Britain right now. Their high this week is 84.
Oh my God, that's a heat wave.
Yeah, they still.
I mean, I don't know if
they still don't have AC there.
Yeah, they don't have AC there. There's a bunch of people just like, you know.
It's too hot to sleep, but like that's not a heat wave.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. It's it is for them because they are not used to that shit.
Yeah, whatever.
So, but it's like people in Florida during the winter time, and it's 70 degrees there, and they're out there in their puffy ass jackets.
Yeah, I know a lot of Southerners that not quite that extreme, but like if it's. I work with somebody that lives in Phoenix, and if it's 65, she's got like a vest on.
Yeah.
At 65, I mean, I'm like, I don't, what?
65.
65 is what I keep my house
t-shirt
at.
T-shirt weather.
I was checking my AC because it's been running nonstop. That's because it's 72 inside, but you know, it's almost 100 outside right now. So it's, my AC is pushing itself.
Yeah, that delta is, that's actually doing pretty good, considering.
Yeah, it's pushing it like 29 degrees beyond the temperature outside.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad, but it's doing God's work. But, yeah, it's just a different thing up here. I've been kind of busy, between doing different projects and, you know, building PCs and Wi-Fi in the woods and a bunch of other shit. Then the whole work and sleep thing, right? But I mean, I've been kind of like over the past few weeks, just looking at what I'm losing as far as weight is concerned. I'm down 23 pounds, which is about right. You know, about 2 to 3 pounds a week, which is great. I'm starting to fit into other shit that, that I had grown out of. So, woohoo, you know, I've got a wardrobe now. And it's, if it continues to be this way, you know, I'm looking at probably by the end of the year, you know, being at a really respectable weight. So that's got me going. I've been, you know, a little bit more active, you know, even at work, just to the point where I'll work myself to a point where I'm like exhausted by the time I get home. So a good portion of the week was work myself to the bone, come home, pass smooth out because I'm exhausted. But since Thursday, I've been preoccupied, including right now, because I mean, why not? But
because Erd Tree.
Because yeah, Shadow of the Erd Tree came out, and I was like right down to the freaking minute.
Yeah, you were. I that DLC was popping. And I had like one of the busiest days I'd had all day at work. And I had like 5 o'clock rolls around because that's when it was releasing here. And I had, you know, I just left my Steam account open, ready to take in the DLC once it was ready. And I'm sitting here chatting with, won't dive into too many details. I deal with AI at work and, dealing with one of the AI dorks at work and, what could have been a 3-minute meeting ended up being a whole nother hour after work chatting. And I was just like, oh my God, my dude, just get on the meeting. Let's get it done. But of course, you know, I'm being nice. So it finally rolls around. I'm just like so fucking hungry. I didn't have time to make dinner, so I went and got myself a crustless pizza from one of the local pizza chains here.
Yeah.
And I got started about an hour and a half after it launched.
I mean, it's a DLC, but it's not.
It's just a game.
The thing. So Shadow of the Erdtree, let's say I've put probably about 40 hours into it.
Already?
35 maybe?
Dude, it's been out Friday, Saturday. That's only 48 hours. That's only 48 hours.
No, it's Thursday night, Friday, and then Saturday.
It's been out like 55 hours or something.
I don't sleep. I really do.
So you really have played this like basically...
I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning playing Shadow of the Erdtree. Been going in blind, which is, you know, is the best way to do a FromSoft DLC, is just, you know, explore, especially Elden Ring.
I can't remember if the name's right, and I don't think this is spoiler territory unless you just start looking it up, which is why I'm not. I could describe the boss. Should I describe the boss by, I should just say the name, and then you have to look it up, right?
Right.
Mesmer. Have you?
Mesmer?
Yes. Did you beat Mesmer?
Last night.
That's where I'm at.
I'll tell you right now, there are certain bosses in, you know, in this DLC that make all of the other bosses in the base game seem easy. And that's one of them.
Yeah, I was, you know, I kind of casually troll sometimes on PC Gamer, especially the, I don't want to sound like an elitist, right? But there's so many people playing. Elden Ring was a critical success with sales, right?
Right.
And so you got the base Souls community that played it, and we all liked it, right? But I think the common sentiment is it's one of the easier versions of Souls games, right? For several reasons. You've got your retry checkpoints that are by anything hard. You've got your Ashes of War that you can summon in. Is another thing, right? You've got plenty of different things that help you not lose runes. So in general, and like the parry windows are bigger in that game, the dodge window, the invulnerability frames are bigger in this game than the other games. And you can just run away or just straight ride through stuff on your horse and not get caught by 30 enemies. Like, I'll give you a really good example. In Dark Souls 2, there is a certain boss. The boss is fairly difficult, but the trip to the boss is also incredibly difficult. And it's a boss where there's this chariot that's got a guy, the skeleton on a chariot riding in a big circle, and there's all these skeletons just like continually raising from the grave. And you can't kill them without a holy weapon. So you're always fighting skeletons and then dodging to the sides in an alcove. Well, getting to that point, there's like 10 or 15 guys that are pretty hard to take on in twos. And a lot of times you pull them in threes or singles if you're really good. But if you just try to run through that group of enemies and up this long rope bridge to the skeleton boss, they'll come up, like you don't run fast enough. And so you'll get up to the door and start to phase in, and they'll gangbang you right as you're getting in the door, and you just die.
Jeez.
So like there's a couple of strategies. There's one strategy where you can kind of do this like, I don't want to, like a run and jump to a ledge to the right, and then they'll all slowly back away sometimes. And that's one way to rush it. The other way to do it is to kill everything 12 times, which is one of the things that I did. So they just stopped spawning. So I could try the boss properly. That might be like one of the bosses that took me the most tries in my blind run of Dark Souls 2 when I was playing that a couple months ago. But in Elden Ring, you can straight up just run past a lot of shit on your fucking horse. Like all the time. And
yeah, there's,
and even in Shadow of the Erdtree, you can kind of do that. But there's a lot of, initially that DLC came out to mixed reviews because people were saying, I can't believe I'm getting two shot.
Yeah.
Like you had to beat Moog, which, you know, blind first try was fairly hard.
Especially if you didn't know about the cracked tier.
Right.
Yeah.
second run through, knowing about the crack tier and having a good build before I tackled him and letting him be like boss, you know, one of four before I beat the game.
Right.
Like a total fucking joke. Like, I think I killed him in 10 seconds.
Hamburger.
Yeah, I think I did it in like 10 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, I turned him into hamburger on this last this last one. I was like, okay, you it was, you know, the great stars, wild strikes, and it was over.
Yeah,
he so went, knee heel knee.
Yeah, and it's funny because like the Shadow of the Erdtree is meant to be an like a. Something after you've already created your build, right? Like it's a 150 plus area. But even at level 150, without discovering the fragments that make you stronger, you're still a wuss in that area.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way that it helps you be stronger in this area is not the incremental level ups, which I think is fine because like it doesn't screw up your stat scaling, right? Like they didn't say, okay, well, now we're just going to open up the stats so they scale more. So you can get even stronger builds in here. They're like, no, we're going to add these fragments that when you're in this area, buff your damage resist and your overall percentage power per stat by a flat percentage, which is what they do. So like, for example, I have a tree spear, right? And I went in and then it was like base damage. Let's say it was like 751 or something like that, right? Which pretty damn good for an in-game build. And then I go into the Shadow area, and now with, you know, seven fragments or whatever it is, the point I'm at right now, my base damage for that tree spear is like 1310. So, like, I'm at a spot where my damage is almost double what it was before. And my damage resistance also quite a bit higher, too. It doesn't increase my actual health bar, but my damage resistance higher. Right. So it's sitting at like 68% or something crazy right now.
Yeah,
but the areas, when you first get in, like it doesn't, there's a literally a guy with these like dancing that I say dancing, he spins around and he's got these circular blades and he's like right as you're getting into the area. And I tackled him and just about died my first time. I was like, fuck, two shots. And I haven't figured out this attack pattern yet. And he's just about decimated me. I've got 2,000 health. Like this is intense. He probably hit me for like 900 a pop. So, you know, I got good and I beat him. And because I have a high arcane build, I got his weapon and then like two of his armor pieces in the first go. First, just dropping into the Shadow of the Erdtree. Not even 5 minutes in and I've got three drops. I was like, fuck, well, I need to try to.
Even the, the base soldiers, they have. Like a stomp and then a two-hit combo. If you get hit by all three of those, you're dead.
I'm still dead if I get hit by all three of those. So the I know it's the Mesmer Soldiers, I think. I'm calling them that because that's what the name of their armor is because I have so many pieces. They've got – there's a lot of them that have like an axe. They've got like an axe and a round shield and then that war stomp. And the war stomp stuns you and does a big chunk of damage. And then half the time they follow it up with a big two-handed strike and just they can decimate you pretty quick.
And that two-handed strike has hyper armor. You can't knock them out of it. So you have to move. If you don't move, you coast. If you try to knock them out of it or poise damage them out of it, ain't going to work.
I would say, though, I didn't just giant hunt my way through the whole game. Like, I've been trying different strategies. I'm trying to remember what the name of the blade is, but I wanted to go for a, you know, I've got a, I didn't want to fuck with my build all that much. And I wanted to stay like high arcane, but really high dex. So I'm sitting at like 80 dex, 45 arcane, no runes yet. I haven't used any great runes because I'm trying to figure out if I need to farm any. But anyways, like, I say that I did three major bosses and none of them took more than four attempts. And then now I'm on Mesmer and I'm about eight attempts in of trying to figure out what's going to work and what doesn't work. So like my first real challenge has been him. And it's not that the other stuff hadn't been challenging. It's just, I've been able to figure out like the Black Knights, they're pretty hard until you really start to figure out their moveset and trying to get out of that. They do this. So they got a new Black Knight, and he's got a big old shield with really high poise, and they carry a great hammer. And the great hammer is enchanted with holy, and they'll do a smack that makes the ground glow, and then it blows up. And it's all delayed, too, so you can't just, like, spam your roll. Like, you really got to time that roll right to get behind him instead of trying to roll out of it. Like, I've found that it's almost impossible to roll all the way out of it. You've got to roll past them to get behind them to backstab. Or I got these reverse swords. I've been playing with that to try to figure out that. And it's weird because I'm so used to when I power stance, right, that I use L1 as a double attack.
Right.
And it's double attack on the reverse swords is on your R1 and your heavies on your R2. And then your L1 is a parry, and your L2 is a weird dodge that you can direct either left or right. It's got a lot of iframes, but yeah, you can.
I know it's the Ash of War. It's like a backstab almost.
Yeah. And the backstab itself isn't incredibly powerful. Like, it hits decently hard. It's just the fact that it gives you so many iframes that you can get out of harm's way. And get a hit in at the same time and potentially set yourself up for a real backstab. So I removed the jar shard or whatever that gives you extra damage on that, and then added the one that gives the millennia's like thing that gives you the extra attacks, give you more attack power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good. I wish it had a status effect, right? Cause you're hitting so often.
Make them with a status effect. So back blades, if you just go into your Ash of War and change, just basically modify the current Ash of War, you can change it to be a different affinity. So if you're going arcane, you could actually set blood on it.
I'd have to see if the blood outscales the dex.
Yeah, it's a thing that you just kind of have to play around with on the Ash of War, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, that is, some of these weapons are just, like, they're too good not to, like, mess with. And I've been kind of, like, going back and forth on a few.
Yeah, I've been spending a whole lot less runes on leveling up and a whole lot more runes on buying up stones.
Right.
And trying new weapons. Like, those are one of the ones that I think, like, I have that circular weapon that does the dance thing, and I haven't quite figured out my dance moves. I beat a mini boss that has a dancer's outfit. It has, I guess they're called dancing swords. And it's not bad. I don't know how I feel about it. And the outfit looks ridiculous on my character is like, I added extra back hair, right? So he's, he looks.
I added extra back hair.
Okay. Yeah, with that dancer's outfit, it's so feminine on him. Plus, he looks ridiculous. I'm just going to say that. He looks ridiculous with that dancer outfit. Because he is the farthest thing from feminine, and the whole moveset's really feminine. So it just looks bizarre on my character, who is just a meat boy. Covered in hair. And, but the whole, you get additional damage from the dance moves, so to speak. And then I've been experimenting a little bit with the perfume bottle. So it scales with dex, like a scaling. And so I scaled it almost like I'm saving my sombers, or not my sombers, my ancient stones, right? So taking things up to plus 24 or plus 9. And that one uses somber, so I've got it at plus 9. And I think with a lot of fire damage buffs, it's probably pretty powerful. But it takes a little while getting used to the perfumer moves. I watched before we did the show, I had something playing in the background while I was editing photos, and it was somebody who did an Elden Ring run through with perfumes only, which sounds nuts, but it literally, even his farming, he was using mobs to farm the first material so that he could farm using perfumes. And he got stuck at the frost giant, the fire giant. That was where he got stopped because he didn't have enough perfume bottles to kill it. but he killed everything else. Like, we're talking base level game, dude, maybe like level 50, taking out bosses with at like 2,500 a tick sometimes per blast.
That's dang. Nutty. And that's the old perfume bottles were a consumable item, basically.
Right, where you have to mix it. And you've got that option now just to have that as a weapon, which is kind of interesting. So I've thought about, like, since I already got a high dex build, high arcane build, maybe I'll play with that idea and add, you know, I can use the fire damage tier. I can use the perfumer's deal. And I don't know what else. What else would help? I'm sure there's another couple of talismans that would help me with my damage. But I mean, you know, so, with a rune, I'm at like 85 dexterity, right? Which I don't even need at this point.
For perfume bottles, I've been kind of like idea smithing that, you know, that myself, because I do want to actually go through, do a run that is just perfume bottles. And you can get a few. I think there's one for each of the.
I don't know if you've looked at the weapon, but it is the least impressive weapon. It looks like you've got these little baby like trumpets peeking between your fingers.
It doesn't matter. In this DLC, you get like hand wraps in it, and that's a whole weapon.
Yeah, I know there's a kung fu weapon that I haven't tried yet. Is it based on dex by any chance?
So I'm looking through the hand weapons right now.
I've got one which doesn't have a dual wield option, but it's literally just a poison hand. I've got a stink fist.
Yes, you've got the stink fist. Okay, so poison hand. There is. You can actually dual wield that. So all you have to do is just, you know, basically the same input as, going from one handed to two handed. So that gives you basically both fists are striking with that. And that's your standard unarmed attacks. So poison hand and. There's another one that I picked up that, you know, basically is just your normal fists, but it has a, you know, poison buildup on it, and you can increase it. And of course, it has a special move that it can do.
To say something about just the size of this DLC or expansion is what I want to call it. Like, it does the exact same thing that you did before when you first open up Elden Ring. You've got a little area, it's a map, you get a map fragment, and it kind of expands the world. That's how this is. Now, I haven't figured out how to go further up or if there is an up, but I know further down I've found two different levels. And as far as like how wide it is, it's pretty wide. I've gotten to edges on the left side of the map and down. But I haven't gotten to edges on the right side of or the east side of the map yet. I haven't found the edge for that. I found the southern edge, but I haven't found the northern edge of the map because I haven't figured out how to get over there yet. But I'm not just riding through everything. There's these huge world bosses, which I haven't taken down yet. These huge guys with like a brazier for a head or something like that. I can't remember what they're called. They're in all the trailers. You'll see like a big, it looks like a fire giant sort of. They hit like a truck. I have ignored them because I think they probably have like 100,000 health.
They have a lot of health, and they're really intimidating, but there is going to be a point where you have to kill one.
I found a point where I thought I had to kill one, and I was able to ride around it into a castle.
Yeah, It's going to
railroad you into a point
where you do need to actually kill one. But they're stupid intimidating. You do not want to get grabbed by them. So do everything that you possibly can to not get grabbed by them.
Is the obvious maybe weak to frost a thing?
No.
It's not? Okay.
No. It has about... it has an ocean for a fucking health bar. It's just... There's a lot of hacking and slashing on that one.
Is it resistant to bleed?
It's a flaming brazier. It's not going to bleed.
That sucks. Well, because it bleeds percentage, you know. I've been using that. I switched some things up and was trying completely different different weapon types. And when I beat the end of the game, I did the Rot Rapier and the... it was Rogers and then the Rot Rapier. And I, you know, enchanted Rogers and then used the Rot Rapier and, like, just fucked up the last boss. But I use the Scorpion Stinger in my offhand for Rot. And then I'm using the, I can't remember the name of the blade, but that bleeding arcane blade. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The dagger?
The dagger, yeah.
Oh, that's from the, like, the very first invasion that you get.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's got a ranged strike. It builds up bleed faster than Rivers of Blood.
Reduvia.
Yeah, so it hits about three times as fast as Rivers of Blood on your normal, like, L1 power stance attacks. And you can build up Rot and Bleed. That's actually what the first boss that's in the game, that's in the DLC. Second attempt, I used those two daggers and just decimated it. You got to do a lot of, you know, ninja rolling, but still, like, building up bleed from afar. He's sitting there, you know, charging up his Hadouken, and I'm just inflicting bleed from 10 feet away. You can sit there and charge all day with your lightning. I'm going to hang out over here and just bleed you to death, you son of a bitch. which one of the reasons that dagger is so awesome. But on top of that, like, you can just get behind and just carve away. It also breaks, it doesn't break poise, but it does stagger a little bit, especially when you're just, like, hitting really fast. It's kind of like you just speed bag everything. And, yeah, those two daggers together are really deadly. I still haven't found anything quite like that in the DLC. Again, you know, you just look around for drops and stuff like that. For me, I found, it's called Milady.
Yeah.
That weapon's pretty interesting, but haven't really found a good use for it. And then I got the Great Katana, which is something you can find in the first area of the game next to a dragon. Just ride north, you find a dragon, get the Great Katana. Got a pretty cool, like, hack and slash Ash of War. I put Sacred Blade on it, and a lot of the dragons I noticed they were made out of bones. Sacred Blade, instead of having, you know, big death birds, they've got big dead dragons.
Right.
And Sacred Blade works wonders on those with a Great Katana. That Great Katana, like, fucking smoke shit. I've been having a lot of fun with that. But I haven't played around enough with its regular Ash of War. The regular Ash of War is pretty cool, but it's just been sitting with Sacred Blade in my arsenal for when I run it against huge dead things. They've got these, like, little creatures that crawl on the ground, little fly people.
Mm-hmm.
That are really annoying and hit really, like, way too hard for poison attacks. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, they throw shit at you. Like, literal shit. And it hurts. And it makes you mad. We found a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of enemies drop some pretty cool weapons, too. Like, we found some giant creatures that both me and Rusty are not fond of.
Not fond of at all.
So you're 40 hours in. Do you feel like you're getting close to the end, or?
I'm going through a couple things. So right now, I kind of got stuck because there was a period of time where I'm trying to figure out how to get past or get to the, you know, the east side of the map, right? And a lot of the map traversal in this DLC is up and down. So while the map size, if you was just compare it to, you know, like, the landmass area, it's it's relatively big, but it's not super huge, right? It's not like Elden Ring's, you know, base map huge. It's probably the equivalent of two different, you know, one and a half zones, basically. What they don't tell you, though, is that it is multi-layered. And this thing is like a stacked sandwich of fucking, you know, different places to go. And if you just look at the map, you're going to get lost because the map doesn't tell you height. It tells you, you know, north, south, east, and west, but it doesn't give you a z-axis. So it's, you know, there's places where you will go under a landmass to get to a different spot, where you have to go through a cave system to get, you know, to a different area, or you have to go through a catacomb to get to, you know, get to this area that's often, you know, off in the east. I'm in the process right now of kind of like, I think I found the way. I think I found the way, but I'm obviously taking a moment to, you know, podcast. So I'm just kind of at a site of grace playing around with weapons. But the I you have to like revisit some areas and really look. Like, there is a lot of shit that's just kind of, like, hidden. And, you know, the paths are hidden. And if I was to go through and play this DLC again, I don't think I would remember all of the little nooks and crannies. Like, I'm still trying to work out the best way to go through the DLC. But
yeah, it has a pretty obvious progression.
It does have a progression path, that's for sure. And there's some stuff that you do, you know, that you can miss, that you probably shouldn't. And then there's offshoot paths that just take you to a fucking smithing stone. You know, it's like, okay, I could buy these from a fucking vendor at this point. Please just like get me to an item or a weapon or a spell or something like that. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
I think what, like, the progression path, like, I've already made some choices, right, as to, like, how the progression's going to go. Like, there's a point where you're talking to somebody, like, do you want me to take somebody out? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Go for it, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, like, I've made some choices. You have these – I won't really run the progression. The progression's obvious. It tells you kind of what to do, and, like, it spells it out better than other Souls games, I think.
And that's one of the things that people were bitching about.
I don't really think it's telling me like, hey, so progression's this way. All this other stuff isn't really progression. I ran into a spot where I was like going down, 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 right? Then I ran into the sign that says, oh, you do not have the right times a million. And it said essentially it had a symbol on the door. And so I need to, which looks like a tree. Right. And I'll say that much, and me and you know what that means.
Right.
So I need to do things associated with a tree in order to get past that. But I saved the grace because it took me a long ways to get to that point. I was just fucking exploring, right? And I was like, all right, well, I don't have the right yet. So I'm pretty sure when this thing happens, I'll be able to come down here. So now I know that I need to do things associated with a tree. For progression, and everything else around that isn't. Like, I got a whole bunch of other things to do this weekend before I can tackle more Elden Ring, but that's kind of where I'm at. Like, you know, it's like I could go with that boss that I'm stuck on right now, or I could continue to explore. Some of the invasions are particularly brutal. There was a mage that was, like, just icing my ass over and over and over again. I haven't done a lot of magic builds, but he has the sword that you summon that does a huge swipe.
Right.
And does it pretty fast. So I ran into that guy, and he probably ate my lunch like five or six times before, like, I finally just got wise and just, again, double knives, relentless assault. That was what I did.
Was the, it was kind of like a carrion knight, you know, kind of dude.
Yeah.
And, yeah. He sucked.
Yeah, he sucked a lot. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, like there's new stuff to kind of figure out, right? Like you get so used to Elden Ring, you kind of know all the game secrets and kind of how to tackle every enemy because you've died a million times. So that's kind of where I'm at with this, is I don't know all the enemies and know like all the different workarounds to get past enemies. Like there's another enemy that's got pyromancies and like double knives that also hits like a fucking truck. Like he's got holy damage plus pyromancies plus like two knives, and he's really fast. And there's like, basically I have like three ways to deal with him. It's like ninja roll my way to get close and relentless assault, or use the back blades to sidestep all that shit and get behind him so I can backstab, or giant hunt my way to win, right? Like roll past everything, get the giant, like giant hunts for a low poise enemy. Like it's unfair.
It is kind of unfair because it knocks them on their ass.
It knocks them on their ass, and you can get it charging right before they stand back up and knock them back on their. You've essentially just like locked them out of fighting as long as you can keep cast using it.
So I got to a point where like, okay, yeah, this is cheesy and it gets you there, but it doesn't necessarily do, it doesn't do anything for me. Like I
want to learn the movesets. Fuckers.
I want to learn, you know, why these guys suck. And some of the enemies, I want to kill them as fast as possible. Those guys, I have a solution for you.
What, spell
they don't like hammers.
Huh?
They don't like hammers.
Oh, I'm sure they have low poise.
So, well, they've got about medium poise. Like, so, you know, your normal katana and stuff like that, that's not gonna stop their attacks. But if you get a hammer, that hammer is going to, you know, it's gonna knock them, you know, it's gonna stagger them. And that staggers all you need. So I've got a couple of the new weapons, and one of the new weapons is a hammer that you can throw.
That's interesting. So
you kind of do a little twirl, and then you fucking like Thor's hammer that fucker. You throw the fucking hammer at something. And I use that versus those fuckers because A, the normal attack will stagger them, and B, I can throw that thing from afar. So he's throwing fireballs. I'm throwing iron.
Yeah, there's a new spell that they have in the game that some of the mages have that rebounds off walls, and I did not know that. I was in a catacomb, and this guy was like reflecting shit at an angle back at me, which was driving me bananas. So I loaded up, you know, probably not scaling all that great, but, you know, I've got a decent amount of arcane, and I grabbed Rock Sling, which staggers. Mm-hmm. And so now every time I see one of those mages, I just have it on my hotbar. I just cast Rock Sling from afar and like fucking stagger the shit out of them with it until they die. It does respectable damage on my build, like probably like 800 a smack.
That's not bad.
So, yeah, I mean,
that's a relatively cheap spell.
Yeah, and it looks cool as shit to throw boulders at things, but I have that for staggering assholes. There was also another, like, you know, the imps are really prominent in the base game, right? And they have these new imps that are on pogo sticks. And, they also kind of delay their attacks. So you kind of have to, like, watch when you roll or when you're about to parry or whatever. And I've gotten decimated by those guys a lot, too. As well as the fucking cannon mouth imps. They got these imps that shoot a fireball that does, like, fucking 1,500 damage. And knocks you on your ass. So there's been a handful of encounters that I've had with those guys where I have gotten the spell parry down, but I've also gotten the run and dodge and get in close and just like beat the fuck out of them strategy for that too.
Right. Some of the new weapons are just very interesting. Like,
I'm really interested in the hammer. I want to get another dex weapon. I like the hook blade, the back blades. Those are cool. But I want to try something else. Like, I tried the spinny disc of death thing that, you know, you can hold in both hands.
Right.
And I just haven't, I need to play with it more to get a good handle on it. It's kind of a complex weapon.
I think what you should do is, I think you should play with the Milady sword a little bit more. So,
did you put a different Ashwar on it?
Huh? Oh, is, yeah, it, you can change the Ashwar.
What did you put on it, though?
You can get a another Ash of War called Wing Stance.
Oh, the Wing Stance?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one where you fly?
No. So, well, Wing Stance basically puts the sword out to your right as a in a stance, and then you either hit L1 or R1 or R2 for two different types of attacks. You know, your R1 in Wing Stance is a quick three hit combo that's basically like a spin move. And your R2 in Wing Stance, you kind of jump up and do a thrust. You know, a jump up and you kind of move forward and thrust.
What's the name of the Ash again?
Wing Stance.
I'll have to see if I've got that yet.
I have found that I'm actually using Milady as the main weapon through the DLC right now. And it works very well with the like the Winged Sword insignia or the Millicent's prosthesis, basically the successive attacks, because it can get a lot of attacks off really quick.
Yeah, it's a pretty fast sword. I found
that the main source of my damage isn't R1s, it's R2s. Because just one singular tap of an R2 is a two-hit combo. And two-hit combo, if you are moving forward, hit R2, you will bring the sword up over your head. And then if you hit R1, it kind of true combos into the next move set. So it'll do two quick slashes, and then you have an overhand arc, and then it'll do like a two poke enders. So it's like 1, 2, 3, and then it does a upward slash and a poke. So it's a five hit combo with very minimal effort, and it's very fast. And once you upgrade that, it hits just as hard. Well, I have mine set to quality because I'm running a quality build right now. But it's hitting just as hard as some of the great swords that I have.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I got another one that was like a laser beam where I was using it on a spear. And you like point your spear and it just like lasers out fire in a shot.
I saw
it's
that.
Like too. A real gun. It's pretty interesting. Although, you know, fighting certain bosses, that was completely ineffective.
Right. One of the other ones that I picked up. Actually, just like in the base game, you know that pogo stick you were talking about?
Yeah.
You can get it.
From that? Imp?
Yep, from the imp. So you can't pogo stick like they do, but it's heavy attack. If you fully charge the heavy attack, it'll shoot out the tongue of the sword. So it's basically a great sword that has a projectile to it.
What the fuck?
It's very weird. But yeah, you can kind of like use it to shoot shit. It's some of the weapons, man. Like they came up with some really interesting concepts for the weapons and the armor for this DLC. And I mean, there's a katana that's basically built to kill dragons. There's a this one is.
Yeah, there's 100 new weapons.
Yeah, there's one that I picked up because, you know, through the base game, you will get invaded by the same NPC that runs at you with a very familiar MO. She's carrying a butcher knife. And in all of the other Dark Souls games, there's an invader that runs at you with a butcher knife, which is basically a great axe. So for some reason in the base game, that butcher knife is a faith, like it has holy damage on it for some reason. It doesn't make any sense because it has some faith scaling to it. Doesn't have faith requirements, but it has faith scaling. Doesn't make any sense. There is the standard ass butcher knife available, which is a strength weapon, and it has the honed blade just like in all the other Dark Souls where you sharpen the blade and it gets health back on hit. This one has that. So that is also a very interesting weapon to pick up. There's lots of good ones in here. Like I've got a full on stash of like really cool looking weapons and some that have some really interesting usages. I picked up a one called Swift Spear, and it's just a normal spear, right? Except for its light attack is a double hit combo just with one press. And if you hit R1 again, it's three more attacks. So it's very fast and it can just chain up a bunch of freaking bunch of like status effect just, hitting that. So I can see like a sword and board attack or a sword and board setup with a spear and shield. Spear and great shield just go fucking like go to town with this particular spear. It's badass. And of course there's the spear that you can throw. So there's all kinds of shit, man. This for what is it, $40? It's an instant buy. This, I can't gush enough about this. Like the fucking, some of the weapons in here, some of the bosses in here, the fact that they took some, they tried to cram as much into a space as possible, and give you a full game's worth of content in a DLC is nuts. It's just nuts. This is their biggest DLC ever.
Yeah, like Ring City is a pretty decent chunk, like maybe 10 hours or something.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on how many times you fight that dragon. Or the last boss.
The slave. In the first try.
Yeah, we're like me, and it took me about 45 minutes to beat him. Or, might take you 30 attempts for Slave Knight, or it might take you like three, like it did me. Mm-hmm. So like this isn't really, I don't think the length is totally based on the bosses, but there seems to be a lot of content as far as the open world and a lot of things to discover. And I think if you're not mainlining it and just going point to point, I think you'll get a decent amount of time out of it. It's worth it because a lot of the new loot is scattered throughout the area, as well as like a lot of the stuff coming from drops, right? So,
right.
I kind of want to farm everything, and then what'll happen is I'll beat this, and then depending on what I'm playing after I'm done, I might go ahead and boot up a new game plus with all the new shit I got, and see how well I do on new game plus. It's interesting. Yeah. It's funny too because I'm doing the I did Frenzied Flame ending, with my character. Just right. Didn't hit the begin journey 2 at the round table. And that's how I started the thing. So I've got the big gnarly scar on my character and the glowing Same. Eyes and everything. He just looks like a straight badass.
Yep. Definitely.
But, I mean, we've gushed about this a lot. Like, to us, I think it's an easy buy. This is from two guys. This is from one guy that never played all the Souls stuff and then recently just bullied his way over the last 2 months through basically everything but Dark Souls 2. And then me, who's went through everything, Souls, more or less, 1, 2, 3, and Elden Ring leading up to this. Like, I beat Elden Ring 2 days before the DLC came out, for the second time. Which is interesting because I beat it. I'll have a nearly perfect play count timer for everybody here because my second playthrough of Elden Ring took me 91 hours versus 165 of the first playthrough. So I know where my counter stopped, and I'll just look at my save at the end of this and tell you how long the DLC took me when I'm finished. But with all the things that I'm doing outside of here, right, like I've got 6 bands to edit before Tuesday. and a whole other project to do. So, I mean, I'm not going to like do nothing but edit for the next several days, but that's majority of my focus.
Yeah.
So I will be, because I'm getting paid to do that.
Well, theoretically, I'm getting paid to Wi-Fi the woods. One of these two.
So I don't think I'm going to have it beat by next week. Rusty might. I won't. And it'll be at least another 2 weeks before I'm done with this.
You're gonna have to pry me away from this fucking DLC.
Well, just buckle up there, Rusty, because Mesmer was the halfway point.
You looked it up to see about where we were at, Jason.
Yep.
Yeah, it just depends on how you're playing it too, though, Jason. So, like, I just got sick of exploring and followed core story points for a minute. And I was like, okay, let's just see what the next boss is like, right? And so I got to that boss and I was like, fuck. I was like, good stopping point. I got to leave for the city. And that's where I left yesterday at about 2 o'clock, was off on that boss. But I hadn't explored the area around him. There's a whole fire giant around there. There's these camps I haven't really explored around there. And I hadn't finished exploring the area down below. So, like, that's... It's a good guidepost of where I'm at, like story content wise. Yeah, maybe I'm at the halfway point, but exploring content wise, like, I don't know, I was only about halfway done with whatever I was doing. And then just looking through this weapon list, apparently there's a whole bunch of weapons I missed in the areas I was already in. I just pulled up a weapon list of where things were at, and I was just noticing the locations. Like, I've been there and I don't have that weapon. I need to go looking some more,
Mm-hmm. I haven't even looked. At weapon lists.
Because I want to try the throne weapons.
Just been kind of going and seeing what works. And
I want some throwing hammers. I've got a
few weapons that just work. So I just been going with that.
Yeah, and I don't want to respec either, so I'm kind of looking for a new weapon that really scales well with Dex and Arcane. To try that out. It doesn't have to be a bleed weapon. I just want something that scales with Dex and Arcane because I've already put so much time into that spec.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to doing like a perfume run. I want to do a run that is 100% hand to hand.
Yeah, I want to try that out too.
So. I will open it up to be claw weapons plus hand to hand, just because they're basically the same range. But that's basically the I have so many different options here. There's also a really cool faith weapon that I found that if I had that during my faith run. Would have changed things. It would have changed things a lot. There's so many different options now. And I think that's part of the appeal for this kind of DLC is that they did a fantastic job of just adding things that make the existing, armor sets, talismans, things like that, you have more combinations, there's a lot more viability for things, and then, just looking at what the, what kind of gameplay changes that can you know, just the move sets alone would be, it gives you a whole nother level of replay value.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, this game had a lot of replay value already. So it was, I can't wait. I want to get to it.
Well, do you think we ought to take a break here, Jason?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break.
Don't ask me.
All right, guys.
Let's take a break.
We'll be back. Back. It is now time for the news section.
Yay.
Something just kind of throwing it out there because Rusty keeps talking about building a new PC. NVIDIA, because they also help out on the back end for a lot of AI right now, is the world's most valuable company today. They just passed Microsoft. At valuing at $3.3 trillion. Microsoft is at...
They passed them Thursday.
Huh?
They passed them Thursday.
Microsoft did?
No, NVIDIA passed Microsoft on
Thursday. What I was saying, that Microsoft is the most valuable company.
Yeah, but that's been kind of a thing going around work. I've been, you know, talking to people, they're like, oh yeah, I wish I had bought, you know, NVIDIA. And I'm like, yeah, dude, if you had bought into NVIDIA freaking, you know, even 4 or 5 years ago, it would have been substantial. their AI, all the stuff that they're doing for AI is basically, you know, the thing that's pushing them over the edge right now.
Oh yeah,
it's actually crazy what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also, like, their stock has risen like 5,000% in what, like 5 years or something crazy.
Exactly. Like 5 years ago, if I had bought, you know, NVIDIA, I'd be all set.
Like, they're in the hundreds of millions like 5 years ago, which is good, right? Don't get us wrong. Mm. But from being in the hundreds of millions to being worth over $3 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just swimming in money right now.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had a part of that. Anyway, hindsight is, well, hindsight. But yeah, it's been fluctuating. The thing is that even at the price that it is right now, it's still being, you know, it's people are still saying to buy NVIDIA because it's only going to go up. You know, it's kind of like evened out since they made the big push on Thursday, and it actually kind of dropped on Friday, but the market was down on Friday anyway. And yeah, I mean, the projections are only going up, and this is even before their graphics card announcements.
Yeah. Well, and that's even on top of, for anyone who didn't know, week before last was CEX out in Taiwan. Everybody had everybody out there talking about technology, and that was one of the things Jensen Wong was talking about, was the RTX Remix is just kind of a start in being able to up-res textures and things using AI. But that, similar to how DLSS works, getting something like that working in real time to increase visual fidelity and up-res textures in games without having to use a separate tool like RTX Remix. And even helping developers by giving them the tools to generate characters and content in games via AI and then tweaking it artistically, right?
Right.
So, I mean, they're at the forefront of AI right now. They're still the leader in ray tracing. Though Intel's really starting to look promising on that front. We'll see when Battle Mage actually comes out. Which is their next set of GPUs. But, yeah, NVIDIA's killing it. And they will be until somebody can step up and do the things that they're doing. And I don't think that's going to end up being AMD, because AMD's been struggling with a lot of that implementation on the AI and ray tracing side.
Gotten better, but yeah, there's they're definitely, you know, lagging behind.
The fact that Intel's wimpy little
the Arc chip,
graphics cards can ray trace better than the current gen AMD cards tells you something.
I know there's an appeal. I've got a real good friend of mine that lives in Alaska that's just like hardcore AMD everything and just won't buy NVIDIA for any reason. Has the money to. Won't do it for, I guess, money. And, has been on the struggle bus trying to optimize his card for literally every game.
Yeah. I prefer to play games and not have to deal with that.
Yeah, AMD's good for chipsets, honestly. Like when it comes to your CPU, like Intel's slightly better, but like price per performance wise, like AMD freaking slays Intel. But when it comes to graphics processors, like NVIDIA's been freaking king forever. And now they're at the forefront of AI technology.
They probably will continue to be, though the Radeon division of AMD has been doing a much better job. They're just, with new games that come out, unless they've directly worked with the studio ahead of time, they seem to be a little, they are definitely slower at driver patches, etc., to optimize games for their cards after the fact, where NVIDIA is just kind of on the ball most of the time and has shit ready to go pretty much right away.
There's some hardcore fanboys of, like I said, with AMD Ryzen cards, but it's just, yes, it is cheaper. Like, they kind of brute force their way through things with a lot of RAM. But you miss out on a lot of key features, just like DLSS, right? Like they've got, what's the AMD version of that called?
FSR.
FSR. Like it always looks worse. It always looks worse. Like the smeariness of the FSR stuff, like it always looks worse. I'd much rather have the DLSS option. And there's a lot of times where DLSS, you can't even tell it's DLSS is on, aside from the fact that you're getting more frames, right? Especially like Death Stranding. DLSS on, you really can't tell the difference.
I had to mod and fake Starfield to replace FSR with DLSS so it would actually run smoother.
You've probably spent this whole last week like optimizing your rig on different games versus playing things, haven't you?
Me? No.
Well, you just had access to Starfield like you haven't had access yet, except for, like, what, the last 2 weeks?
Oh, well, yeah, but, I mean, like, all the mods are still there. Everything was still installed. I just couldn't, you know, actually play it because my Game Pass was expired. Still left all the install files on my machine.
Yeah,
I could fire it up. I could fire it up right this second. I'm not going to because I played through the story once and I decided, meh.
Meh. It is. It. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you played through it a bunch of times, Justin, and you said that playing through it again makes good, significant changes to the story, but I gotta say, it just really didn't grab me enough to want to play through it again.
Did you even finish it?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, like, you know, the honeymoon phases wore off. I'd like to see that some of the pacing in that game fixed and some of the content generation fixed, and then I'll go back into it.
Yeah, that's my big problem, is that it just felt so slow getting there.
I mean, that was...
It really felt like a marathon playing through that game.
It was, yeah, it was not a fun time. Like, I got through it, and I was glad to be done with it. Like, I think I got to a point where I just rushed the end just to be done with it.
Though I did have fun playing with Lego ships, but
yeah, Lego ships was actually kind of fun.
That's like the best part of the game.
Yeah, I wish some of the I wish some of the building portion of that was a little easier to do. Some of the snap points are kind of weird, but yeah, it was probably one of the best things that they did with that game.
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. What else
you got?
Well, we've got some Nintendo news. So Nintendo officially unveiled at their big Nintendo Direct earlier this week that Metroid Prime 4 is definitely coming in 2025. You know, only 7 years after they promised it to us as a near Tears of the Kingdom launch.
It was I mean, I don't know what they were doing, but to be fair, they ended up having to change to studios one or two times. It was just a title card when they said it, and they put it in there because they didn't have anything else, and it was a big mistake.
Yep.
But the
subtitle is Beyond, and the and what they showed at Nintendo Direct had actual gameplay in it, so it is actually coming.
Okay. Well, that's,
you know, visual art style wise, it didn't look it didn't look radically different from the original Prime trilogy. So, you know, you're not going to get blown away by the graphics per se, as much as it does look really good compared to those previous three titles. The thing I'm worried about is the way that it's positioned right now is that it's going to be a... it looks like it's going to end up being a transitional launch title for the Switch 2. Which means... Okay, so, yay, great. I don't have to buy a different console to play it. But that also means there's going to be other ways that they limit the game so it can play on the older console.
I was probably asking too much to ask Nintendo to actually put out a fucking, decent ass console these days, because they want to go all in on handheld. But I feel like over time they've just been lackluster.
Well, here's the thing though: Steam Deck and ROG Ally have proven you can put together one hell of a great handheld console that will push some serious fidelity. Nintendo just keeps using older chips. Like the NVIDIA chip in the Switch, they seriously limited its power, but at the same time, it was all very old when they used it for the Switch. So,
yeah, they really should have. I just want them to have a little bit more power. If they can make it happen, great. If they can't, then, it's not a big deal because I won't buy it. Right. Like, I have a Switch I haven't touched. It's not my preferred method of gaming. I don't want to, I didn't want it because it was handheld. I wanted it because it was Nintendo. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
So if they can meet my needs and provide the Nintendo IPs that I'm looking for, like Metroid, with decent hardware, then great, perfect, I'll buy it. But until then,
right. That said, moving on from things. Pressing to stuff that's not Resident Evil 2. So the Resident Evil 2 remake this week became the best selling game in the Resident Evil series.
Which one was the remake?
Surpassing Resident Evil 5.
Which one was the remake?
Resident Evil 2 remake.
There's so many, I just keep forgetting. I thought they already did two. Was it one that they remade initially? Was that the first remake?
That was the first one, yeah.
How many times did they remake it? Let's see. They had a remake for Resident Evil 1. Or not a remake, it was a remaster, I suppose. They had a Resident Evil 1 remaster for the GameCube, for crying out loud.
Yeah, Resident Evil 1 remake is still in development, like a complete remake for it.
Let's see, how many times can we sell the same game?
Right. That's kind of where I'm at with freaking Resident Evil.
But just the fact that the Resident Evil 2 remake surpassed 5 in total sales, that's something. Apparently people were hungry for it. I wasn't one of those people. But it is good to see. I mean, it could lead to other things for Capcom, and I'm alright with that. Capcom's one of the least evil, lesser evil companies out there in the gaming space. Also, this week, Microsoft announced they will be returning to Gamescom this year. So they will have a showcase there. For those of you who don't know, Gamescom is currently scheduled for August 21st through the 25th. So expect expect to see more from Avowed, Elder Scrolls Online, Fallout 76, probably Diablo 4 news since they just recently acquired Blizzard. I don't imagine they're going to miss out talking anything World of Warcraft or Diablo 4 at Gamescom. That's something that's never happened before, so it wouldn't surprise me if they take advantage of it. That still means Sony and Nintendo won't be showing anything at the convention.
Because they have their own.
Because they're just going to stay with their own things.
It's working for them. I mean, since COVID happened, they've realized that they don't necessarily need to be at these conventions. They can just produce their own. And they have full control over it. I mean, Apple's been doing it for years and years and years. So it's working for them. So they're just basically taking a page out of Apple's book.
That said, another piece of news, the highly anticipated, I know all of us have liked the look of it, Black Myth Wukong. Still on course to launch it for PS5 and the PC on August 20th. Microsoft has decided to delay the release on the Xbox Series X and S until the same August 20th date. Originally, it was set to release on June 7th. Mm-hmm. So now they're just confirming that it will launch along with the PC version for optimization
reasons. Yes. I kind of figured that was going to be a thing. It's just, I have high hopes for that game, but then again, I mean, I have to be guarded with all this, you know, with all this. I'm optimistic for a new IP, but, you know.
I am too, but at the same time, you know, I can see the PC and PS5 have just proven to be easier to develop for. Than the series Xbox consoles. So it may not release exactly August 20th. They're just saying a later unspecified date, but it's assumed it will be within 30 days of that date.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cautious with all the hype on a lot of stuff. Well, it's just like I've talked a lot about Dragon Age, right? Hyped initially that there was an announcement. After looking at it, not so hyped. And now I'm literally going to be watching gameplay and everything else before I even buy it at this point. I don't want to waste my money. I'm not going to buy into nostalgia gaming, which has bit me in the ass for 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or especially the last 10 years. I'm just going to be cautious with everything I do this year. So probably won't play as many releases this year, but really focusing on higher quality releases. Which I think we're all kind of doing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Difference between now versus first three seasons of Tiltcast, where I probably bought 70 games a year.
Yeah. And a lot of those were, you know,
that's why
I try it.
Right. That's why I have like 900 titles in Steam.
Right.
I've got 100 really good titles and the rest are, you know, C, D, E tier.
I mean,
one of the reasons I have so many Xbox cases sitting around my house.
Oh. I look for, you know, it's always been the entertainment per dollar. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, Elden Ring is basically... It's done a number. Something like 300 hours or more, I think, at this point. And that's a lot of entertainment.
Well, speaking of that entertainment per dollar, sir, apparently, there are a lot of players who've been having difficulty, finishing, the mainline story for Elden Ring, specifically having issues with, Star Scourge, Radahn, and Moog, and the Lord of Blood. So there are actually Elden Ring pros out there who've been offering to help people get through those two huge boss fights, so they can, so people can get through the mainline story and actually start Shadow of the Erdtree.
I've got some bad news for those people. The people who need help. If they can't get through Radahn or Moog, you're not going to get a hard time in fucking Erdtree.
Yeah,
it's a really hard time.
Honestly, there's no shame in getting a high quality build 150 plus. Like, I think Rusty started at past level 200. Trent, friend of the show, original content creator of this show, built an everyman build at like level 320. He's literally got the max stats for every single type of weapon so he can try out everything. You need to have... I wasn't capped on my stats when I started. I started at 192. But I started at 50 vigor, like 30 endurance. I want to say 70 dex and about 40 arcane when I got into the DLC. Now I'm sitting at 45 arcane, 80 dex, so I don't have to use a rune, 55 vigor, and like 35 endurance right now. So I'm not even at 60 vigor yet. Like, but the, you find the fragments and it ends up being better. The key thing though is like I was at pretty close to max stats to really utilize my weapons and had max level weapons going into it. And I think without having a build that's, you know, optimized around a weapon type, when I say a weapon type, like a weapon stat type, right? So like I'm going Dex Arcane, and no, I didn't just River. I actually barely used Rivers of Blood in this. The old school weapons I've used a lot of is I use the, I can't remember the name of the scythe, but it's a scythe that stacks with Dex really well and has innate bleed. But I put, I use, had Hoarfrost Stomp on it, and I found a better version of that in the DLC. So it's got frost bleed on it, right? Frost makes things more susceptible to, damage. Plus, obviously, bleed is just like extra bonus, you know, big chunk attacks every now and then. Mm-hmm. And I use that a lot. I use the fucking tree spear, which is not a boss weapon at all, a lot still with giant hunt on it. And now laser beam, whatever the fuck it's called. And then I've just started using the back blades a lot, because I thought they were really neat. And I'm using freaking scorpions, the scorpion stinger plus whatever the blood dagger is a lot.
Redubi,
right? Like those are all weapons you can get pretty early. I ended up finding the, you know, the big katana, right? So like I'm using arcane for the bleed stuff, right? But also I'm using it as utility for spells, so I can use spells too. But I think if I was like a lower level character that didn't, like, you could probably do a strength character and come into that, you know, with a pretty high strength stat and high vigor and high endurance and probably work your way through. But you need to explore around and get the skidoo fragments or whatever the fuck they're called.
Skidoo?
Yeah.
The skidoo fragments.
The skidoo fragments. Skidoo. Yeah, whatever skidoo. Whatever the hell they're called. You need to get those. Yeah, they boost your percentage. Resistance plus overall attack power for stuff by a percentage, right? And you need to do that. And you need to be pretty good at, you know, like I said, be versatile. I've used some block. I've used a whole lot less block in this than I have in a lot of other. I was using the block counters a lot in base Elden Ring, and then I switched back to parries a lot with this, as well as just dodging around and getting in good positions. Changed up, you know, my ashes. I'm not using Mimic Tear on everything. I found one that this dude that does a crazy amount of hex damage.
and bleed damage. And I can't remember what it is. It's just a caster. He also uses health like the Mimic tier, so he doesn't eat into my FP full pool. So, like, you just... I don't want to sound like an asshole neckbeard and say get good, but I think you need to be comfortable with the hardest content in the main game before you come over, which means you should be able to beat Moog, because literally everything's harder than Moog in this. Like, some of the base level enemies are harder than Moog. Like, if you can't beat Moog, like, you're not going to beat that first boss.
That's true. However, if you do feel like you are one of those people that just can't get through it, like you're at a brick wall and you just want to get past it, there is a Reddit community dedicated to helping out said Tarnished. So you can go to r/beyondthefog.
Yeah, I want to say that, like, when it launched, less than 40% of all players that had Elden Ring in their library had beat Moog. But the crazy thing is that the DLC has surpassed Blood and Wine as the highest rated DLC ever, and like the sales on it have been pretty crazy. But it's all that being said, like, if you go initially when it launched, there was a lot of mixed reviews, and again, most of it was the goofy game is too hard, I'm getting two shot, which was funny. And like I was going back earlier, I'd said something along the lines on a thread of people that were kind of like backing that up, saying like, hey, like, don't want to be a Chad here and say get good, but I really did have to have played the main game a lot to have a pretty good experience to understand the mechanics before I went into this. And I feel like up to a certain point, it could have been harder. And I would have been fine with it, to be honest with you. So I, you know, power leveling is not necessarily the answer, like just pure experience and comfortable being comfortable with whatever weapon type or battle set you choose is the key to this. And being willing to experiment with that a little bit as you get further into it, you know, most of my runes have not been spending levels. It's been fucking buying stones. So I can try new shit because my level is already pretty fucking high. Like I'm barely, I'm raised my vigor a little bit, whatever. I'll survive. Right.
Right. I don't know, man. It's a good, you know, it's a good DLC. And if you need help getting there shouldn't, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying don't seek help because I mean, There's kind of like a 50-50 split on, you know, on players for FromSoft games. There's the really helpful people, the Sun Bros, and then there's the shitty ass invaders.
I mean, me and Rusty are not like let me solo her level good by any chance choice, no. Right? Or what's the meat? Have you seen the meat check, dude? The guy that parries everybody and then says meat check and then slams him in the face or stabs him.
Or there's a
the meat check guy's pretty funny.
Yeah, there's a couple people in there that that have, you know, builds that they set up, put a bunch of like glowstones down in a, you know, in a circle in front of them, and then just like you know. Do the intent, you know, the way to get invaded. It's like a vigor check. So they'll get all set up for it. The invader was supposed to stand in the circle and then and take one hit. If they can survive the one hit, then they pass the vigor check.
I have not seen that. Yeah, there's a whole crazy community. Like, there's some hyper good players. I watched. Before this even started, I watched somebody perfume build most of the way through the game, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen the meat check guy, like, just obliterate content all over the place because he's so good at parry. Let me solo her, right? Like, beat Millennia, like, over 1,000 times. I'm not that good, right? And that's what I'm getting at is, like, we're not that good. We're just pretty good at the game. Like I said, pretty good, not that good.
pretty good because we've been playing Souls for 2.5 months straight. It's a lot of understanding the mechanics of Miyazaki action games. Is all it is at this point. It's just a lot of experience understanding, you know, the parry, the dodge, the block, and understanding how the stats all work together. This is not me and Rusty being edgelords. This is just me and Rusty being above average gamers, playing a lot of a certain game type for a little while and just no Chad getting good, right? No Chad getting good.
That said, I mean, go play the game if you can. It's definitely worth it. I know I've not gotten to it yet. I just had other priorities, but I will get there eventually. That said, some more upcoming games this summer. Final Fantasy XIV's Dawn Trail will release on July 2nd. For the PC, the PS4, and the PS5. Frostpunk 2 will get a full release on PC on July 25th.
Oh, just to interrupt you. At some point this year, when I'm done with this, I forgot about this because I was asking Musum in one of my side threads with him. Shimigami Tensei 5, the remake for relaunch after Switch for PC, I'm going to get that. And that's because he said something really key for me. Again, we have some compatriots that do play kind of opposite games with us, and that would be the TBGP guys. I have found through a lot of trial and error, I'm just not as much into Persona as those guys are. Because I've just, it's the story for me. It just doesn't click with me. And John made a really key comment. He's like, oh, well, you know, the big difference between, and I haven't played Shin Megami Tensei games in 20 years. He's like, you've got Persona that's story-focused with a grind combat loop that's on the side. He's like, then you got Shin Megami Tensei, which is all combat-focused with a story on the side. And it's all like old-school Final Fantasy combat, right? Like the old-school turn-based stuff, all about it. So I will be playing that at some point this year. I'm going to see if it goes down in the summer sale, and I might pick it up then. The summer sale like literally should be launching at any point right now. It's usually right now for the Steam summer sale. Probably Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it generally does drop somewhere in the, you know, early portion of the week that it's going to do it. I've got a couple titles that I've, you know, that I'm looking for from a summer sale. But I mean, with Final Fantasy XIV's expansion coming out, the fact that I'm kind of like into Miyazaki games right now, I'm not looking for anything super. Like, I might.
The estimate's Thursday, so June 27th. Probably right before I release this episode is when it'll go live. And it should last through the 11th. This is according to Google AI. So, who knows?
I mean, that most of Google.
Oh, but I'm looking at CNET, and they're also saying the 27th.
Yeah, they're just going to take historical data and kind of extrapolate.
But we're almost positive it's going to be the last week of June, which is when it always is.
Yeah.
If Sekiro goes on sale, I'll buy it, but I'll only buy it when it's on sale.
It'd have to be in deep sale for me. Maybe it'll find a click. If it's $15, I'll pick it up.
That said, also games in August, you got Black Myth Wukong and Dustborn, both releasing to PC and PS5 on August 20th. Dustborn will also see a PS4, Xbox One, and Xbox Series release. Star Wars Outlaws will come out on August 30th. Don't know what I think about that one. I will wait and see. And then rounding out the summer in September, we've got Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, one that we're all looking forward to, coming out September 9th to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. And we will also see God of War Ragnarok come to PC on September 19th. And the Lollipop Chainsaw Repop, which is just a remaster of the game, coming to PC, Switch, PS5, and Xbox Series on September 25th. So not a really heavy summer as far as new games or new platform releases for current games, but still there's enough there to keep you engaged. And I think with that, we have anything else?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, then find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channels, youtube.com/realtiltcast, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
And find friends of the show. We've just got tbgp.tv. They do fantastic things. And listen to BMFcast for as long as you can. And with that, right, it is the end of the show.
All right, guys. Peace.